Earth. The old saying, there's power in numbers, is true. Scientists were amazed to discover a tiny marine shrimp called krill may affect the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Krill are hardy little invertebrates that feed on plankton. Every night, they rise to the surface to feed in such great numbers that they increase the turbulence and mixing of the upper ocean. The surface waters churn and froth like a hot jacuzzi. Even though krill are small, their numbers are so vast that the protein in their bodies equals all the animal protein consumed by humans in 1 year. Scientists from the School of Earth and Ocean Sciences at the University of Victoria measured krill in waters near British Columbia. They found that the feeding krill produced so much turbulence that the surface of the ocean exchanged gases better with the atmosphere, drawing carbon dioxide down into the sea. The jury is still out about the impact of this biological turbulence on the carbon cycle, but it may prove so significant that it will have to be factored into the models of CO2 accumulation and climate change. Now that's power in numbers. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island. Thank you.
John Coltrane, Equinox, for all you pagan ladies out there. And Brian, I played it for you too, man. And we'll be right back after this.
One Toke Over the Line, Tarkio Road, and 50 Shades of Freedom are just three of the scores of songs written and performed by the folk rock greats Mike Brewer and Tom Shipley over their 40-year career. Join Brewer and Shipley, Danny Cox, and special guests Bob Walkenhorse and Jeff Porter in a KKFI benefit concert on Saturday, October 12th at Community Christian Church, 4601 Main, Kansas City, Missouri. Tickets for the meet and greet, dinner, and concert are at kkfi.org.
I'm smashed. Looks like I've gone and done it. I'm crashed. I think I stepped right on it. I'm tempting fate. It's getting late and I'm ripped. You know my mind is spinning. Tripped. The other side is winning. Before you count me out, let me tell you what it's all about. I always thought that I was in control. I always thought that I could play my role. But since I came to this town, my mind is down, I'm smashed, just like a busted fender. I'm crashed. Where can a man surrender? Take me out, coach, I'm through. I'll get myself together in a day or two. Cup. Will the real me please stand up? I'm smashed. Hello there, operator. I'm crashed. You'll have to try me later. Just between me and you, I'll feel much better in a day or two.
Goddamn life, it's murder. came to tell my story to all these young and eager minds. Look in their unspoiled faces and their curious bright eyes. Stories of corruption, crime, and killing, yes, it's true. Greed and fixed elections, guns and drugs and whores and booze. It's been a while since I put on a suit of my own clothes, and even longer since I cast my shadow on a church house door. They say every sin is deadly, but I believe they may be wrong. I'm guilty of all seven, I don't feel too bad at all. And I used to have a wad of $100 bills in the back pocket of my suit. I had a 45 underneath my coat and another one in my boot. Drove a big old Cadillac, bought a new one anytime I pleased. And I put more lawmen in the ground than Alabama put cotton seed. I spent a few years on vacation, sanctioned by the state I mentioned. But see, a man like me don't do no time too hard to come back from. The meanest of the mean you see, you lock away and toss the key. They're just loudmouth punks to me, have scraped meaner off my shoe. Somewhere I ain't saying there's a hole that holds a judge. The last one that I dug myself, and I must admit I was. Sad to lay him in it, but I did the best I could. Once his honor grows a conscience, well, folks out there just ain't no good. There's a pretty girl out there, said, Daddy, you stay cool tonight. All I need from you is to come home and be here by my side. Say what you gotta say to shut their Bibles and their mouths. If there was to tie a noose, they'd have to lay their Bibles down. Save no souls, and even if I could, I could never save enough to put back half the ones I took. So if they rest in torment, you can't say it's 'cause of me. They'd long been bought and paid for like that fool's in Tennessee. I used to have a wad of $100 bills in the back pocket of my suit.
I had a 45 underneath my coat and another one in my boot. I drove a big old Cadillac, bought a new one anytime I pleased. And I put more lawmen in the ground than Alabama put cotton seed. And there's a pretty girl out there, said, Daddy, you stay cool tonight. All I need from you is to come home and be here by my side. Say what you gotta say to shut their Bibles in their mouths. If there was to tie a noose, they'd have to lay their Bibles down.
Good morning, Kansas City. You're listening to the radio, and I happen to be on it, and you could be on it too. All you have to do is call 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. I started off with the Equinox for all you pagan ladies out there, John Coltrane, because you know what? It was. The day was perfectly equal today. Did anyone pick up on that? As perfectly equal today? A beautiful thing. Day, night, perfectly balanced in our world, which is a wonderful thing. I'm Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio program. You're listening to 90.1, but you might know that. You might think you're listening to something else, but you're not. You're actually listening to 90.1 FM for whatever reason. I don't know why. You could be my mom. You could be in prison. There's a lot of different reasons, basically, that you might be listening right now. Everyone brought their own headphones tonight. I'm glad to see everyone's very prepared. Now if we can just get them all set up. It's a good thing. So we'll be talking about what happened in the world. People are so concerned watching the news unfold that there was another mall shooting in America. Do you have any idea how relieved people were to find out that it was in Kenya? And then, right? People were very relieved to find out that that was in Kenya, which is a country in Africa that the president comes from. And, or kind of, partially.
By hook or by crook.
But did you see that somebody from the mall shooting in Kenya was actually from Kansas City? According to Al-Shabaab's Twitter feed, Al-Shabaab is not a place you go get gyros or falafel sandwiches. Al-Shabaab is the name of the Somali terrorist organization that I believe is
affiliated.
Is Arabic for youth. Now, Somalia has been an absolute pirate-run, no government, barren, pirated wasteland for going on 20 plus years now. Black Hawk Down, anyone? That was 1994. And before that, things were quite rough in places like Mogadishu and Somalia.
That was the beginning of it, or the.
I think 91 was the end of their government.
It was already lawless by 94, and here we are 20 years after that.
Al-Shabaab took responsibility for the Kenya Mall. Shutdown. They 10 to 15 people went in there with grenades and assault rifles and killed, they're saying, upwards of 75 people now. Over 175 were injured. And they just now, it's what has really surprised me from this is that the Kenyan National Police and Al-Shabaab have not only been trading gunfire, but they've been trading tweets.
Oh, if the Kenyans they're
both of them are
well?
Tweeting each other. Now, apparently somebody from within the mall, which you figure they might have shut down its cell phone service, somebody from within the mall or without the mall, depending on your perspective on who's doing the tweeting for Al-Shabaab. Now, Twitter keeps shutting down Al-Shabaab's Twitter feeds. Twitter feeds. But then they keep putting them new ones up, or somebody does. Very bizarre to me.
So there's somebody there just starting new accounts.
But we're mostly relieved that most of the hostages have been rescued. And while there were some Westerners who were injured and killed in this terror attack in Nairobi, the only participant from the local area was apparently a shooter, which is weird to me. They haven't said anything about who he is, where he comes from, anything like that. But the amazing thing about the internet and this extremism of religion within the Middle East and East Africa and all over the place is you have people who, there was a United States military vet who just basically had all the charges against him dropped by the United States Department of Justice. I think Eric Hassoun is his name, because he was over in Syria fighting along with the Syrian rebels, and he just so happened to end up with al-Nusra, which they're about two shades, not 50 shades, but about two shades gray of al-Qaeda, they say. These are the people over in Syria that are connected to al-Qaeda. Well, this guy, I want to say his name is Eric Hassoun. He's not from Kansas City. That's good.
Right, but he's from the U.S. and he's over there.
And he was requested to come back. Pretty sure this is the guy's name. Well, maybe not. We'll find this guy's name real quick. He was charged with essentially aiding terrorism. And the charges were dropped, and it's kind of interesting that the charges were dropped. He was accidentally, they're saying, involved with... He went to the wrong barbecue or something like that. And he just so happened to end up with al-Nusra. But he's just one of those no-limit soldiers. You know what I'm saying? There's no limit to him. Let's find this guy's name. There's so much stuff going on. Eric Haroon, excuse me, not Eric Hassoun, vet who fought in Syria on behalf of al-Qaeda, suddenly gets a sweet plea deal. He's a 30-year-old Phoenix native. Amid doubt about the allegations of him fighting in Syria on behalf of al-Qaeda, he's suddenly agreed to a plea deal. And he now will be given, instead of life in prison, 30 days or 3 years of probation and a $100 fine.
For what did he plead down to? I can't imagine there's a range of options.
Well, he was arrested on supporting terrorist organizations and conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction, which in this case, a weapon of mass destruction is a rocket-propelled grenade. Which, hey, if you can blow up a city bus with a weapon, that's potentially some mass destruction. But I don't know. I mean, I'm a traditionalist.
Yeah,
think of a weapon of mass destruction is not being a rocket-propelled grenade.
But, you know, that's something that we just kind of started using that term, and I don't know that it ever was given any kind of official
definition. It doesn't mean anything at all. It actually, if we want to use a Bush-Cheney definition, it would be magical weapons that never existed in the first place.
Right.
Magical desert weapons,
right,
that were northeast, west, and south of Baghdad that never existed in the first place. Now, he pled guilty to conspiracy to violate the laws of the United States related to transfer and control of defense articles and services, which apparently is just a 3-year probationary period and a $100 fine. At some point after his honorable discharge in 2003, after sustaining some sort of brain injury in a car accident, they don't really go into depth in what that is, he developed an interest in the Middle East, which may have something to do with his brain damage, and he started traveling around the region. He may have participated in the Egyptian Revolution of 2011, any other citizen uprisings, and any other thing he was just there for. But it's amazing. There's all kinds of this interest.
So he's 30. He got a brain injury when he was 20, and he's been roaming the last 10 years.
Just kicking it.
I'm
This is off his YouTube
video.
We
have footage.
We got audio. Oh, they got themselves a helicopter. That's sweet. But you have this, this is played out over and over again. You have all these people who find out about the revolutions in the Middle East on the internet and then go over there and participate in varying degrees. Now, this guy is probably just, maybe he's played a little too much Call of Duty.
Or not enough.
Well, right. He wants to play it. It's like the games aren't real enough for him.
Either that or he's...
He doesn't have time for PlayStation 4 to come out.
Either that or he's an instigator.
Ooh, an instigator. What kind of instigator do you think he
is? Well, you said he was in Egypt. He was in...
Oh, you think he's one of those...
Syria, and it's like, we got this guy, so let's... Wow. I mean, I don't know. It's all speculation.
We wouldn't know his name. I just think it's interesting, because you have a lot of characters within the wider conflict in the Middle East, in Somalia, in Yemen, you know, who come from America, who've been radicalized on the internet. You have the Tsarnaev brothers out there in Boston, right? The older Tsarnaev, what was that guy's name? There was Djigo's car, the one that's still alive, and there's Tamerlan,
yeah,
right?
Tamerlan,
yeah. The guy that got his body ripped apart by his brother, or the Boston Police Department, or the National Guard, or just the straight up police state, whoever that was. It's an amazing thing. We're living in a virtual reality on a lot of different levels. And then I start reading these articles, because you have, you know, these people being radicalized by the internet. And this is why I think Facebook is evil. Facebook is reportedly now conducting research on deep learning artificial intelligence to allow better analysis of the data captured from the social network's 1 billion users. Of course, the details of the experiments remain secret. The new project is just one of many ways Facebook is on the cutting edge of technology, including a massive facial recognition database. Facebook has most recently come under fire for privacy violations, their role in the NSA spying, especially within the European theater. Ultimately, the goal of the project is to predict your actions online, show you content that is more relevant to your interest, and target advertisements more accurately. So just take you directly to, if they determine you are ripe for terrorism, take you directly to the Free Syrian Army or whatever's next. What's the next country that's supposed to fall?
Yemen,
right. So you take it right to Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula's website and give you advertisements for joining up or something along those lines. Now, the project that Facebook is underway is an 8-person group known as the AI team, will attempt to use deep learning to uncover the true meaning behind what people say and share on Facebook.
The true meaning.
Deep learn. It's going to take deep learning to do this. To determine the true meaning of what people say.
So will you get a translate?
And share.
You know, will you get a translation right there
Facebook.
On the box? So like when you are like Facebook messaging like your ex-girlfriend and you say like, how are you? Or something like that. Then it like translates it to you want to hook up for old time's sake or that kind of thing.
I don't think that's what it'll, that would be interesting. That might be a nice little YouTube skit.
So what's the hidden meaning behind what you say?
Well, and also in computer lingo, there's garbage in, garbage out. I wonder how these algorithms take into account, you know, the troll factor, the lie factor, you know, the phony accounts altogether.
You mean basically Russ's presence on Huffington Post? Is that what exactly you're talking about?
Possibly.
I mean, because if it's going to translate like...
Deep learning.
You know, hey, your cousin was killed in some errant missile attack. That reads as recruitment. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what angle are they... Well, no, you just are reading that. But what angle are they going with this translation thing?
They're looking at a way to predict your future movements, your future thoughts,
your
future posts.
A car.
Right, so they can advertise to you. Now, deep learning has shown the ability to analyze photos and recognize objects and make complex predictions about the likely future behavior of individuals. So it could be like, you know,
garage sale,
Facebook status, down and out because my cat got sick. I just always think about that is people's opportunity to share the health and well-being of their animals. And then I read a little further into this article, and it references Google, which has been delving into deep learning as well with Ray Kurzweil. And if you
That's a freaky dude.
Right. If you want to get creeped out, just YouTube this guy, Ray Kurzweil, K-U-R-Z-W-E-I-L. And he's used the technology to recognize cats.
He's a freaking genius, but
he's a futurist is what he is.
Well, you know what motivates him is the desire to bring his father back.
Huh.
Yeah. He's like real big on the whole, what do you call that? Russ is real big on that stuff. The
nanotechnology?
Yeah, but it's the next
transhumanism.
Transhumanism, yeah, that's it. Where man and machine will join at some point. And he believes
I thought that's where you had your genitalia switched.
I was watching your Netflixer. He there's a pretty good documentary on him that I watched where he's ultimately, and he's talking about this, and other scientists and people who have worked with him are like, yeah, he's really bright and all this stuff. And then they stop and go, but this thing he's trying to do is really creeps people out.
Creepy.
He wants to composite. He believes that we will at some point be able to take a composite of your deep learning, your online presence, your electronic, all these things. We can combine all that and somehow create an artificial intelligence that would mimic your life. You know, basically be able to recreate you. And then he's got his father like in some kind of suspended animation. Or not suspended animation, but
I think it's illegal to have a
frozen dead thing. What is that? The cryogenic, kind of like Ted Williams's brain.
Or straight up Walt Disney, right?
Is Walt Disney like that as well?
Don't they say that?
Wouldn't that be crazy?
He's one of the many things they have underneath Disneyland. Right? Is that correct, Jake?
Can you imagine?
So says something.
Some reanimated Walt Disney walks in. I'd like to renew my patent on all my Disney stuff.
Like he came back just to get copyright money.
It would be like a golem, right?
No, this is how creepy Ray Kurzweil is. Listen to how many times he says reality. Let's see if this thing will just play.
Understood it completely. We'll also have non-biological bodies. We can create bodies with nanotechnology. We can create virtual bodies and virtual reality. The virtual reality will be as realistic as real reality. The virtual bodies will be as detailed and convincing as real bodies.
The whole time he's talking, he never puts down his cell phone. He's holding his cell phone the whole time.
We'll have different ways.
We all know how that makes me feel.
Can create bodies. We do need a body. Our intelligence is directed towards a body, but it doesn't have to be this frail biological body that's subject to all kinds of failure modes. Well, I think we'll have a choice of bodies. We'll certainly be routinely changing.
I like how computer guys sum up the human body's existence as being a bunch of failure modes.
Just a temporary
right? I wasn't able to jump over that, 20-foot structure.
Says the old
failure
man.
Mode. Well, right. No, sure. And so this guy and this idea, and this is very perverse and very bizarre. To me, this is, of course, where future's headed.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of aspects of technology I'm not completely comfortable with, but this is just downright disturbing on a level. And that we're going to be here. I mean, this guy, he's a futurist. He's saying we're going to be here in 10 to 20 years. We're essentially going to upload our brains.
Right.
To computers, and then we're going to be in virtual realities. He's saying you still need a body, but you're going to be able to switch bodies. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting situation. I mean, clearly, the big advantage here for computer guys, guys that are really into computers, is they're going to be able to get out of their bodies, right?
Right.
It's going to be a big advantage to them. Get that that slender, muscular, tanned physique, you know, with fully developed organs. You know, that's going to be a big benefit.
Pick the body you
on
want.
That level. But it's very perverse and bizarre. I mean, it truly is. And you start thinking about all this. You know, Facebook is looking into deep learning about its users, the 1 billion people on Facebook. Al-Shabaab is probably on Facebook, right? They got Twitter accounts, they got a Facebook page. I mean, everyone's on Facebook. I mean, Facebook was part, just like Twitter was a part of these revolutions. Twitter's got to be a huge part of this deep learning process as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
Twitter actually has an immense amount of real information on it, unlike Facebook, which has an immense amount of emotional wasteland on it. I'm not saying that people don't actually do stuff with Facebook, because I'm sure on occasion, since there's a billion people participating with it, it actually does happen. But this deep learning artificial intelligence they're going with, I mean, they're going to be able to literally predict people's emotional reactions, people's actions, because of all that folks give Facebook, because people give Facebook so much.
Right. Or at least on some level, they're going to believe that they can predict that or predict with a certain amount. You know what I'm saying? At some point, they're going to take action on this.
Well, right. But if they have deep learning to get artificial intelligence on what the users of Facebook are doing and we're transitioning into a virtual reality, I mean, do we not see how maybe Alex Jones is truly correct here? I mean, he's starting to get really right on here. And I mean that in that we're going to be on a prison planet, if you will, a virtual prison planet, where then if you had that scenario, everything, and I mean everything, would be controlled. Can you imagine if you lost it all on Farmville and literally died? Right? Do the kids even play Farmville anymore? I don't know. I do not know. But in that, we're moving into this reality, and you know, and people being in a virtual space, in a virtual reality, in virtual bodies, and our intelligence being based upon that, uploading our brains. I mean, this is not going to be like Gmail. This is not going to be a free service, folks. This is not going to, I mean, it probably will be like Gmail to the degree in which when Gmail first came out, you had to be invited into Gmail. Not anyone could just get a right. Gmail address. You had to be invited into it. And then you could invite other
beta
people.
Beta group. Or
but we are seriously, what we're talking about here is these uploading your brain to the internet, uploading your brain to a computer, the deep intelligence, all these things. We're talking about a very exclusive club here. This ain't going to be for everybody. I mean, all the technologies that are going to be able to prolong human life, you know, not just 10, 15, but 100 years, whatever it's going to be, is going to be in a very exclusive club that will not be covered under Obamacare.
That's what we have to come to grips with. I mean, and that's something for people to really think about, I think, is that the normal, it seems to me that the normal techno wave would end right there. You know what I mean? Because normally it's like, okay, like take Kurzweil, for example, right? The way he made his money, because he's a little kid genius, was he started making scanners and doing, like, he made a bunch of stuff for Stevie Wonder for blind people. But now everyone has a scanner. You know what I'm saying? Now it's, so that technological thing was only available, as many things are, to the wealthy, and then it works its way down to the normal, you know, workaday Joe, right? This is not something well, that would go on that kind of wave, right?
We're not
all going to get the body.
Well, right. We're not metaphorically talking about bringing eyesight to the blind. We're bringing eyesight to the blind.
Right. But what I'm saying is that that's something that when you get that uber wealthy group that gets to do this, that's not going to just like, okay, now every Joe Sixpack gets to live forever.
I mean, George Soros just married a 42-year-old woman this weekend.
Really?
Well, right. And when he turns 100, he's going to probably want to marry a 20-year-old woman just because he's going to need this technology.
But if he likes his 50-year-old woman now, he can make her a 20-year-old and they can be together as 20-year-olds. If he likes her.
I doubt that. I mean, come on. He's just going to, it's an inverse relationship, right? He's just like, I'm a billionaire and everything on myself has gotten nasty. I'm going to see who will suck on it just because I can. All right. Let's go to the phones. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Mike.
Morning,
hey,
Drew.
First, I'd ask Ben, along these lines, have you ever read Wang's Carpets by Greg Egan?
I have not. I missed that.
You really should read it.
All right.
It's taken this that idea all the way into the most bizarre.
Is that a short fiction?
Yeah, it's short science fiction, and it's like well beyond what a lot of these other famous sci-fi writers have done in terms of taking that idea like the furthest you can. It just is like you look at it and it's like it's almost hard to comprehend. It
even beyond Philip K. Dick,
when you first look at it. As far as this idea, though, in general, is I think you and I would both agree, well, all three of us would be, this is horrible. It's just going to leave these parasites to live longer, and that's, let me make this clear, I'm not referring to all rich people as parasites.
Just most of them.
I'm referring to the second, third generation ones, typically, as you and I both know the term rentiers. The ones that create nothing, that suckle off the teat of society at large. And don't get me wrong, I have a problem with the people on the lowest end at times, but I really think they're less of the problem than the rich people. And I think you would
agree with me here,
Mike, the idle rich.
I'm glad to hear, Drew, that you're trying to redistribute your misanthropy.
I look at these poor people, Ben, and they don't create. They take most of them, and I pity them across both sides of the spectrum, the rich and poor, because
are we talking about welfare recipients? Who are we talking about?
I pity the rich people's kids because those kids don't know the joy of creating anything. Because they give them everything. I'm talking especially about the ultra-rich. So there's no sense of achievement. They shelter their kid in a gilded cage because they're afraid someone's going to kidnap their kid and ransom them, especially in places like Mexico and the rest. I mean, bottom line is, by this whole system of fostering and what's the word here? I don't want to say frittering. Pilfering away, packing away, rather.
Yes.
All this money. It doesn't benefit anyone, honestly. It just leads to the same cycle repeating itself over and over ad nauseum. We're at this point where, first off, we need to stop the idea of living forever. We need to go to this idea that we can archive knowledge of people. That's fine.
Okay. But kind of a Jonestown thing?
What?
I don't know. We need to stop this idea of living forever. Okay, we haven't started that yet.
Well, I mean, we can put forth knowledge of creation, that sense of living forever. That's great. I have no problem, video archives and such. But I think the way forward of our society, the step that we have a rare opportunity here to really bring it forth is we have technology where that makes it possible that we don't have to exploit someone so that we can truly like, survive and flourish. That's unnecessary now with the green technology and all this, these battery storage technologies that we have now and that are up and coming. We don't need this exploitation element anymore.
We have not, unnecessary. Drew, we have not needed to exploit people since the, you know.
Well, I'm referring to the people who use it well, we need to.
True. I understand that. But we haven't had to exploit people since, I don't know, the Industrial Revolution was, you know, going full swing. But the nature of human beings is that we exploit other people, right? I mean, unfortunately, that's just the nature of who we are as people.
Well, so the nature of many people as such that they feel that they must have someone under their heel. I mean, and it,
that some people want to have more stuff. Some people have a lot of charity in their hearts. Some people are willing to give back, you know. Some people want to do that. But most people want to control other people.
Well, and that's where I would agree with you in that sense. I think it does come down to...
it's all nice and well to sit around and think about us human beings as being all nice and evolved. But chances are, I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that with all the actual weapons of mass destruction out there, we haven't just obliterated this planet yet. I mean, that's the one thing you can truly congratulate human beings for doing, is not destroying the planet Earth in a nuclear holocaust.
Well, don't go slapping yourself on the back too quickly. I mean, we've only had it for 75 years.
We haven't done it yet, though.
I know.
We haven't done it yet. It's 75 years, knock on wood. I mean, you ever been to a construction site and you're like, 432 days since...
Right.
Thanks, Drew.
Authors with some of the worst dystopian views out there for possibly putting into people's heads to maybe slow down. I'm thinking of people like Philip K. Dick and his Planet for Transients, or his story, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? All of those are dreary enough to maybe knock some sense into people. I don't know if you've read many Philip K. Dick stories yourself, Ben, but...
No. The only thing that's going to knock any sense into people is when Facebook starts deciding what people are going to post before they post it, and people don't even have to actually log into their Facebook accounts to have their status updates yet.
You'll love to hear what one of mine is.
Damn, that makes sense.
For coming down the road, Ben. I think one of these days they're going to manage to crack the code on the brain in terms of the what frequency it registers at, much like we have the, I can't remember the name, the electromagnetic spectrum. They're going to crack that part of the brain as close as they can, and then they'll start just straight up jacking television program, the equivalent of television programming and ads into people's brains. I'd say it's maybe 5 to 10 years from happening.
Crack on the brain is right.
Yeah. Talk to you later, Ben.
All right. Take care.
All right, man.
Bye.
Jake. Pay attention there, buddy. 816-931-5534. That's 931-KGFI. If you'd like to join in the conversation, it's just about 1 o'clock right here. Or it is.